This is Weather the Storm, written by One More Page and read by Tipsy Kitty. There's a headache behind his eyes. A single slant of light cuts across his face from the gap in the fabric he nailed to the window to avoid waking up like this. He knows it's mid-morning, day nearly half over. Knows because he woke up the same way yesterday, and the day before that, and the week before that. Woken up that way forever. A knock at the door. Captain? If he doesn't answer, another knock will follow. Then Izzy will give a tentative, Blackbeard? Then a kick against the door to see if he's dead asleep. If he stays quiet, a key will slide in the lock, even though he still has no idea how Izzy got one. And Izzy will come in and see him awake and bristle. Take a minute to breathe out his anger. But he'll lean back on the wrong foot, the one he can't quite catch his balance on, and he'll hold his tongue. Ed doesn't want to do all that again.
Let them approach, he yells.
He doesn't wait for Izzy's questions about how he knew they were coming. They don't matter. Izzy won't believe him. The room swims as he gets to his feet. He ignores the way moving too fast makes his stomach lurch. He's wasting time. He's always wasting time. He's wearing a red dressing robe and throws on a pair of trousers. Stumbles past Izzy, who looks like he's gearing up for an argument. Going to try and talk him out of it. He's not in the mood. Hasn't been in the mood for quite some time now. Ed shakes his head. Just let them on the fucking ship, Iz. Even to his own ears, he sounds like he's reached the end of his rope. Izzy opens and closes his mouth, but the ship rocks. He catches himself on his bad foot and has to overcorrect so he doesn't fall. Guilt burns in the pit of Ed's stomach, but Izzy hates him even more when he tries to apologize for it. All the fight goes right out of him, and Izzy nods. Of course, sir. Ed makes his way to the deck and winces against the sun, against that feeling like a crack is splitting his skull. He passes Jim sharpening daggers and glaring, Frenchie beside them avoiding eye contact. Been a rough few months for the two of them. He staggers over, ignoring the pounding in his skull. The hangover is a fucking killer. Worst hangover of his goddamn life, and not just because he can scarcely remember any others. I know about Lucius. Both of their eyes go huge. He waves them off before they can lie or plead or yell. Usually it's yelling. He starts talking before they can. So you can let him walk around. I'm not going to do anything. Get him some food, yeah? It's been too long in the fucking walls. And before they can respond, he turns away. Where should he wait today? Seems as though he stood on every board of this deck. On their own accord, his eyes travel up. That'll work. He sits in the crow's nest with his back to the mast, just as he did a lifetime ago when he first met Steed. He should have waited for him here sooner. Seems a rather fitting place for their reunion. And if it doesn't pan out, well, there's always tomorrow. There's a headache behind his eyes and sun in his face. He groans against it. He can't remember last night. Thinks he might have finished off a bottle and then gone exploring that wretched closet. Still too full of things he can't bring himself to toss. He can only stand looking at it when he's so sloshed he won't remember. Going by the pain in his skull, he was plenty sloshed. He tries to fall back asleep only for a knock at the door and Izzy's voice to wake him.
What?
He snarls. Izzy knows better than to bother him. They just finished a raid that turned up nothing useful, which meant they needed to stop soon. Load up on supplies. But not a goddamn thing on his agenda today. He might be trying to blur reality, but he is still a decent fucking pirate captain. And besides, Izzy knows you don't wake a sleeping monster. Or he used to. There's a ship, Captain.
Fly the flag and get them to fuck off.
Christ. He tries to bury himself away from the sun. Izzy just keeps talking, and he has to clench his teeth so he doesn't scream. That's the thing, sir. Some of the crew believe they recognize the flag. Seems to be a recreation of sorts. A long pause as Ed sits himself up, scratches at the paint and sand stuck in the corners of his eyes. He hasn't been applying it as often. Why bother when he scarcely leaves his room?
So?
Frenchie and Jim believe. Ed staggering across the floor before he can stop himself, throws open the door to find Izzy waiting, face a carefully blank mask.
It's him?
Izzy gives a terse nod. They seem to think so. Ed's stomach heaves, and he thinks he might actually vomit. He swallows it down. His skin is itching, and he ignores that, too. Ignores the swoop in his gut and ache in his heart, and the throbbing in his skull.
We need to outrun them,
he orders. Izzy watches him for 1 second longer than is safe.
Do it,
Ed yells, and Izzy rushes off to comply with his orders. Against the shut door, he lets out a few long breaths, clenches his hands tight so he doesn't have to look at them shaking. The last person on Earth Ed wants to see is Steed fucking Bonnet. Steed finds him because that's what Steed does. Hiding doesn't help, though he's been done hiding for a while now. He crests the top and looks so handsome Ed could cry, lit by the fucking sun. But he hasn't cried looking at Steed in a while either. His hair is lighter and longer from months at sea. He's got a beard going. The skin across his cheeks is freckled, arms spotted. Any of that exposed skin has been kissed by the sun. He's beautiful. Ed's never once pretended he isn't. Steed opens his mouth, but in Ed's experience, it's easier if he talks first.
Want to join me?
Steed blinks in surprise. He was likely expecting anger. A monster who tossed someone overboard and abandoned his crew. A violent shell of a man who did all but burn his ship to the ground. And he was a monster. Is still probably a monster. But all that anger burned out ages ago. He's just tired now. Steed smiles, bright and brilliant and glowing, says, I'd love to. And Ed's chest pulls so tight it's hard to breathe. He settles next to him in a mirror of the position they sat in on the night Ed's life started well and truly careening off course. Steed is fiddling with the rings on his fingers. He wears an awful lot of them now. His clothes are weather-worn, simple trousers and a white shirt. But Ed knows he has a coat he nicked off some fancy prick months ago, vibrant as all the clothes he used to love. Knows because Ed's been on the ship to see it. Gone is Steed Bonnet, the fancy man, and here is someone new, someone in between. A rather fine and proper pirate. Still a gentleman, though, through and through. Ed sighs. He made a deal with himself last night, and he doesn't want to go through with it, but he's tried everything else. Doesn't know what's left. And he really is tired. He looks at Steed, who is already looking back. Honest. Today, he's going to be honest. Spill the whole sordid truth and see where that leaves him. He swallows against his nerves. I got quite the story to tell you, mate. Steed's brows furrow. Me too. Yeah, but Ed already knows his story. Had it shouted at him amidst the clanging of steel. And whispered to him while the two of them sat on the floor surrounded by fine fabric, and spoken into his skin just on the cusp of sleep. Mind if I go first? Of course not. Of course not. Because if Ed asks, Steed just gives. He starts with the beginning. The light is too bright, his head pounding. Shit, he needs to stop drinking. This is the longest hangover he's ever had. He squints against the world beyond his curtain to check the time. Midday. Jesus. He'd meant to just catch a few hours, wanted to make sure they were outpacing their tail. Steed's new ship with the half-dozen flags wasn't as fast as theirs, but they were low on supplies. They needed to lose them before they had to stop in port, or Steed could easily catch him there. Like hell, he's going to be caught by Steed Bonnet. A knock at the door. A flicker of annoyance courses through him. He told Izzy to wake him hours ago. Captain? He stumbles across the room, shakes his head against all the cotton. He grabs some trousers from the floor and shuffles into them as he makes for the door. He's in that red robe again. Huh. He doesn't remember putting that on last night.
Thought I told you to wake me,
he greets with a snarl. Izzy frowns, opens his mouth, closes it, ends up shaking his head and saying,
My apologies, sir.
Ed rubs his brow and pushes past him.
I actually have some news to deliver.
Ed stops.
Well, get on with it.
Izzy isn't acting like himself. It isn't like him to be so cagey. Did they lose the fucking ship or not?
There's a ship, Captain.
Ed scrubs his hands over his eyes.
Yeah, Iz, I know.
Izzy stares at him for a long moment.
No, sir, I don't think you understand. There's a new ship.
What happened to the other ship? Izzy looks askance.
You'll have to be more specific.
Steed Sodding Ship, he roars. The name tastes vile on his tongue, bitter as the bile boiling up his throat.
Izzy blinks at him a few times.
That's what I was coming to tell you. We're being chased. I think it's the old crew.
Yeah, he says. We went through this yesterday. They've got the flags up and went to parlay or whatever bullshit, and I told you to keep fucking sailing.
His first mate is looking at him like he's crazy, and for the first time, Ed feels a bit like he might be.
Think you must have had quite the dream, Captain.
It's Ed's turn to stupidly stare. The world feels like it's tilting, reorienting. There's a word for this. Steed told him about it a million years ago.
What was it he called it?
Deja vu. Ed shakes his head.
Whatever.
Keep sailing. I want to lose it.
Of course, sir.
Izzy stops at the end of the hall, looks back, and says,
Are you feeling all right, Captain?
Ed swallows against the acrid taste in his mouth.
Never better.
The next day he wakes to an aching head and sun in his eyes, and tells himself his dreams are too real. He's done drinking, done reversing his nights and days, needs to get a proper schedule going. It's time he got his shit together and stopped pining over someone who doesn't matter. He orders the crew to keep sailing away from Steed and tosses all the booze from the ship, ignores the looks they shoot each other, ignores the way Frenchie and Jim watch him with burning anger. They'll try to escape in the night. He'll see them outside his little window, in a tiny little boat, making their grand escape at last. He's not even mad about it. Shocked they stayed this long, really. There's three of them in the boat, but he falls asleep before he thinks too much about why that's odd. In the morning he wakes with a headache he knows he shouldn't have. Light in his eyes. Knock at the door. Realizes something is very wrong. He decides not to sleep. If he doesn't sleep, he can't wake up in this nightmare. He can outrun Steed. He spends the whole time at the stern with a spyglass in hand and doesn't take his eye off their pursuer. It's a small ship, looks more like a merchant vessel than a proper sailing ship, and sure enough, a whole line of flags fly from the mast. Izzy tells him to get some sleep. Ed tells him to piss off. Sometimes a man will stand on the prow of the ship. They are too far to make out any true details, but Ed knows who it is. What Ed doesn't know is why the hell he decided to show up now. Come to gloat, perhaps. Or maybe he wants his missing crew members back. They haven't been able to make their grand escape with their captain constantly on watch.
Maybe, a quiet voice whispers, he wants to see you.
He swats the voice away like a fly. He's getting properly tired if he's having thoughts like that. Steed left him for dead with no word, no nothing. Left him after Ed basically cut out his heart and handed it over for Steed to hold. So Ed was a joke or a passing fancy or whatever to Steed Bonnet, and that was just fucking fine. He doesn't need him. Doesn't need his heart, either. Things have been going just swell without it. Until now. He makes it 5 days before his vision starts tunneling. Until the only thing he can see is the small form of that man on the other ship. It is an image burned behind his eyes as he goes under. He wakes in his bed. Headache. Noon. A knock at the door.
Captain?
He throws his head back and screams. The 10th time he wakes to news of Steed, he finally starts to accept his fate. No matter how far he sails, they aren't going to escape him. He's being haunted by Steed Bonnet. Steed listens to his story. Doesn't interrupt once, even though Ed's not sure he's ever seen his brows more furrowed. Concerned. Confused. Concentrating. When he stops to catch his breath, Steed reaches forward like he might touch him. Thinks better of it. Ed wishes he would. Maybe he should have skipped ahead in the story. I am so sorry this is happening to you. Steed can gut him without even trying. The fact that Steed believes his tale of madness makes his chest crack. He's tried telling other people. Izzy listens, but thinks it's just another bout of insanity. And Frenchie believes him, but wants to steer clear lest he catch it too. And Jim just asks if he'd like them to kill him and see if that will break it. It won't. He knows. But Steed believes him. Ed shakes his head. Not your fault. At least, he doesn't think so. Seems whatever curse has befallen him involves Steed, but much as Steed might have hurt him in the past, he'd never torture him like this. Steed looks at him like he might be the only thing in the world. Eyes bright, a little angry, indignant on Ed's behalf, maybe, and full of hope. Maybe today we can solve it, Steed says. He loves Steed's optimism. Can't help but smile as he asks, "What makes you say that?" Steed gives his bashful smile. You haven't had me helping you before. That crack fully collapses. Feels like his chest caves in. It hurts to breathe. Honest. Today he's going to be honest. Ed lets out a long breath. That's what you said last time. This is Steed's fault. He's done something to him. Cursed him. But Blackbeard isn't a fucking quitter. This is just another problem he needs to solve. Running isn't working. Time to try something else. When Izzy brings the news, he tells him to let the ship approach. He ignores the sour twist of Izzy's mouth, ignores the warning in Izzy's tone with a single, "Captain," and sets to putting on his war paint, smears the black across his eyes. Puts on leathers, gloves, the whole kit. If he's going to see Steed fucking Bonnet, he's not going to let him know the other man is driving him insane, that he might be winning. He waits on the deck, sword drawn. If Steed wants a reunion, he'll give him one. The first sight of Steed has his hands shaking. He just squeezes the sword tighter. Steed is, Christ, beautiful. Just as beautiful as he looked when he agreed to run away with him. Different, but still Steed. He's smiling until he catches sight of Ed. His face falls, and there's a grim sort of satisfaction at that. He's a disappointment, and Steed knows it. Knows it's his fucking fault. Steed should feel just as awful as he does. Worse, if he can help it. Ed points his sword at him. Bonnet, we challenge you to a duel. Steed grimaces before he steels himself, sticks up his chin, and says, I accept. They duel. Steed's skills have improved marginally, but he's no match for Ed. The only sound in his ears is his own breathing and the scrape of steel. And Steed's talking. I'm so very sorry. You see, I was intercepted and... Ouch! Good at this. But I never meant to hurt you. Ed. He gets him disarmed and pressed up against the mast. A familiar dance. Steed's been here before. He bares his teeth and hisses. Any last words, Bonnet? Steed's eyes are huge, wide and pleading, sadder than Ed's ever seen. He swallows. I'm sorry. Ed is shaking. He wants to stab him, wants to gut him like a fish, wants to tie him to the anchor and toss him off the ship. And he should do those things. He's Blackbeard, terror of the seas, looking at the man who broke him. He should, but he can't. Instead, he throws his own sword aside and tells Steed to get out of his sight. Steed comes back. They fight. Steed tries to talk, and Ed doesn't let himself listen. Sometimes he toys with Steed, lets him catch his sword so he thinks he got him, only to spin right out of his grasp. Lets Steed land a hit and watches his eyes light up with pride. And then Ed hits his wrist so Steed drops the sword and the expression. He can't stand to see Steed looking at him like that. Ed can't hurt him, and the next day they do it again, and again, and again. He's so angry and lost, and it feels like his tether on this world is slipping. Feels like the rumors of his madness have come true. He'd give anything to stop this. Anything at all. Ed, can you listen? He doesn't want to listen. Doesn't want to duel. Doesn't want to have to do this again. Something needs to give. With a scream, he runs Steed through, right over an old scar from where Izzy pinned him to the mast. He's missed the important bits, he knows, but still, he did it. He hurt Steed. Changed the rules of the game. Steed's eyes are huge. In shock or betrayal, he doesn't know. The crew screams, and Izzy cheers, and he doesn't care. Pulls back his sword with a sickening noise and kicks Steed off his fucking ship. Steed comes back. They fight, and he stabs Steed, or he doesn't. Or, on one rather exciting occasion, he lets Steed stab him. It doesn't matter. Nothing changes. In the morning, he's got a headache and a knock comes, and he knows Steed is on the horizon. Steed is always on the horizon. He doesn't remember the night before this living hell. Not really. He knows he was drunk. And he always wakes up in Steed's old robe, so he was probably crying. He only puts that on when he's feeling really pathetic. He's a little afraid, though, because there's a chance he was desperate enough to pray. Desperate enough to clutch the robe tight as he could and wish for that thing for which his heart aches. A second chance. One more chance. Because maybe then he could get Steed to stay. He knows better than that. Knows to be careful what you ask your god for. She might answer. He hides. Enters the auxiliary closet and listens to a ruckus on deck as Steed's crew reunites with their old companions. It's one of the few rooms he didn't completely trash. Oh, he threw things around plenty when he was feeling particularly stung, but he couldn't bring himself to throw it out. No one else on the ship knows about it anyway. It's his secret to have. The door opens and Steed is there, looking hesitant and handsome, and Ed can't look away. He's tired enough that he doesn't even try. "I've been looking for you," Steed says. Ed doesn't know if he means today, or the past few months, or every day that Ed has lived over and over and over again. "You found me?" he greets. He doesn't know what else to say. They sit in silence, and Ed asks the question that's been haunting him. "Where the fuck have you been, man?" Steed tells him. He listens. And it feels like there's something beating in his chest for the first time in months. It doesn't change a thing. He wakes the next day to do it all again. The sun is already starting its descent. The story takes too long to tell. He'll need to figure out a way to shorten it one of these days. Steed's eyes are too sad. He didn't tell him all this to make him sad. Ed shrugs. "Not so bad, now that I know what to expect." Steed shakes his head. "How long has this been happening?" "Search me. I reckon a few months at least." This time when Steed reaches for his hand, he does grab it. It warms Ed all the way to his bones. Ed likes the way his hand fits in Steed's, likes the way they look together. They make quite the pair, the two of them. "And you've been all alone?" Steed's voice nearly cracks on the last word. Ed just stares at him when he says, "No, I really haven't." He doesn't know how many times he's fought Steed, how many times he's woken up on the same goddamn day. Nothing he's doing is changing it. Running doesn't work, and fighting doesn't work, and listening to Steed doesn't work. He's cursed, haunted, and Steed's story doesn't really make it any better. Taken at gunpoint in a misfire and faking his death so he could come back. It doesn't matter. He's still fucking left. He's too angry today. Too sad. Too broken. Too everything. When Steed lands on the ship, he starts fighting before Steed's even got his footing. "Free me," he yells. "Take away the curse, I yield." Ed attacks him with everything he has. All that pent-up anger and rage and desperation. Steed is stumbling over his words and his steps because he doesn't understand. Because Ed is the only one who knows what this hell is like. A hell where he can't move on, and is stuck fighting Steed fucking Bonnet, and missing Steed fucking Bonnet, and still loving and hating Steed fucking Bonnet. With a roar, he drives his sword as Deed stumbles, screams as he misses, or rather, doesn't miss. His sword strikes truer than he meant. He runs Deed through and can only hold him as he bleeds out on the deck of the ship. Watches in horror as Deed's eyes go all unfocused, listens to him whisper, "I'm sorry." And Ed lies and says, "I forgive you," just so he can see Deed smile. The crew attacks him. He welcomes it. His own crew doesn't try to fight, not with how angry Deed's men are. Even the fearsome crew of Blackbeard doesn't stand a chance. Izzy just watches from the shadows and doesn't care. They throw him in the brig and he rests his head on the moldy floor. He feels emptier than he's felt in ages. There's nothing else to do. He starts wishing, hoping, praying. Someone did this to him. Maybe they're still listening. "Please let me wake up. Please let me wake up. Please let me wake up. Please let me." A voice answers. "Christ, not only did you hit rock bottom, but you dug yourself deeper, huh?" It sounds like Lucius, but he killed Lucius weeks ago. Maybe his ghost cursed him. It would be deserved. He answers anyway. "I just want to take it all back." There's no answer for that. He falls asleep in the dark and damp jail cell. Wakes in his bed. A headache that should kill him. Sun too bright in his eyes. He starts running. Izzy's got one hand raised to knock. "Turn the ship around," Ed orders. "We're approaching." "What?" He runs to the deck. Snaps at Fang and Ivan and they get the boat ready. He sets off rowing. It's too far and his muscles are screaming, but he doesn't care. The ship lowers a ladder for him. He's shaking as he climbs, and there, standing on the deck waiting for him, is Deed, alive and whole and golden in the light of day. Deed looks more shocked than Ed's ever seen him as he stumbles towards him. "Ed?" He starts weeping, whole body shaking, really, as he gets close to him. Doesn't know if he's allowed to touch. Deed answers the question for him and just wraps him in his arms. Ed really starts sobbing then. Can't bring himself to be embarrassed. Can't bring himself to care. Deed is alive. That's the only thing that matters. "It's all right," Deed says, and Ed realizes he's answering him. He's been saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," and doesn't know how to stop. He might be in hell, but he won't make it through without Deed. Doesn't want to make it through without Deed. And if he has to stay in hell to keep Deed, than hell it is. The sun always hits Deed just right, makes him glow. Ed drinks him up. "What do we do then?" Ed smiles at Steed's wee. Deed might be the only person Ed could tell that he killed him in some other version of their life, and decide he's going to stand by him anyway. The proper lunatic. Ed shrugs. "Whatever you want." Deed blinks at him. "Whatever I want?" "Yeah, see, I've tried everything I can think of, and I'm so fucking tired." He's tired of headaches and disappointment and fighting and trying. So he's done. Gonna do what the fuck ever and ride this out. Weather the storm. Figured he'd let Deed pick the first day. Probably let Deed pick every day. But he'd cross those bridges when he unfortunately got to them. Steed's still looking a little sad, so he flashes a smile. "I'm done deciding. You can pick if you want." Deed purses his lips. "What if I want to try and help you?" Ed shrugs. "Then we can do that. Doesn't matter to me." Deed puts on his pensive expression and looks out over the horizon. Ed just rests his head against the mast and watches him until Steed's eyes light up. Whole face lights up, really. Steed's so goddamn expressive. It makes something warm leak into his veins. "Well, if it's a curse, then maybe there's an answer in a story. Something like..." Deed blushes the prettiest shade of pink, and Ed smirks. They've had this conversation before. "Go on," Ed says. "No bad ideas in brainstorming. Isn't that what you always say?" Deed looks up at him from under his eyelashes, all coy and innocent, like he has no fucking idea how he looks. And maybe he doesn't, but it always works on Ed. Maybe the curse will break with true love's kiss.
Ed flashes a wry smile. We've tried that one.
Steed's eyebrows shoot up, and it makes him grin wider.
Tried a hell of a lot more than that, if I'm being honest.
Steed's blush spreads down his chest. Ed knows exactly how far that flesh will go, and what it tastes like to chase it with his tongue.
Steed clears his throat. Is that, in the cards today?
Ed lets out a single chuckle.
If you want me. Told you, I'm up for anything.
As long as it's with Steed. The days don't exactly become good, but they are bearable. He meets Steed on the deck, or sometimes he rows out halfway. Steed tells him his story over and over, and Ed listens. Listens to it so many times he starts to actually hear it. Doesn't know how to forgive Steed, but thinks maybe he could move past it, if he's ever given the chance to try. Then he gets the rest of the day with Steed. They explore the ship. All the empty shelves make him feel hollow and awful. He wishes his curse let him manipulate time, not just sit in it. Steed smiles like he understands, and Dad can't help but feel like he shouldn't. But he doesn't know what to do to make it better. He asks Steed about his time away, not just the time with his family, but all his adventures at sea. Learns Steed's become something close to a competent sailor, a decent captain. Has learned the appropriate names for the parts of the ship and the jobs that need doing. Steed tells him how his skeleton crew stole their ship, utilizing fuckery more than violence, because that's something of Steed's forte. They made their move at night, snuck aboard and stunned the sailor on watch, staged a proper haunting. The ship was abandoned before the sun rose. Ed tells him he's brilliant, and the smile he gets in return is worth every day he's been trapped in time. Almost makes up for the fact he wasn't there to see Steed in action. Sometimes Steed wants to sit with the crew, and so Ed has no choice but to join them. Feels so fucking awkward and guilty. And when Steed steps away for a moment, he chokes out the worst fucking apology all of them have likely ever heard. None of them answer, and honestly, that's better. Someone should hate him if it's not going to be Steed. Ed gets to know Steed's ship as well as his own. It's small and cramped, and Steed doesn't have any space of his own. Few trinkets, and hardly any fine things. That guilt is going to corrode his stomach away completely. He asks if it bothers Steed. And the other man just smiles, says, "Suppose I'm one of the crew now," in a voice that tells Ed it's the best thing he could possibly imagine. It takes longer than it should, way too many days, but Ed apologizes for throwing out Steed's shit, or rather, throwing out Steed's treasures. He swallows all his fearsome pirate pride, and looks him dead in the eye, and doesn't even cry once. Steed hugs him after. And he gets that feeling again in his chest, like his heart is finally beating. It feels like healing. Which is why, for the first time in ages, he's so disappointed to wake up same as he does every day. He'd foolishly gotten his hopes up. Thought he finally cracked it. Thought if he became a better goddamn person, he'd be set free. Instead, he sets out to find Steed again. Steed asks for a tour, and Ed warns him it's going to be disappointing. Steed says he doesn't mind. Ed swallows his pride and shows him the ruined remains of his once beautiful ship. Steed talks the whole time. Ed's relived this day so many times now, but Steed rarely has the same conversation with him. He doesn't know what that means. They end up in his old quarters. Steed walks around his room, and Ed just leans against one of the empty bookshelves. He could do nothing but watch Steed forever, and that would be just fine. Seems rather unfair, Steed says after a while.
I don't know. Maybe it's a divine sort of punishment for all the awful things I've done. He doesn't add that it isn't the worst punishment. Not anymore.
Steed stops his pacing and wrings his hands.
Interesting.
Well, yes, that is terribly unfair, and if I can do anything to help you, you know I would. Ed smiles.
I know.
Steed clears his throat, starts pacing again. Right. But I just meant, well, it seems like you know an awful lot more about me than I do you. He starts a circuit round the room back toward Ed. You've had countless days that I just don't remember. You said you weren't alone, but I wish I could remember being there with you.
Me too,
Ed admits. He wouldn't condemn anyone to this hell, but it would certainly save him a few hours at the beginning of the day if Steed was already caught up in the situation. But I don't mind. Steed stops in front of him, and Ed watches him swallow. Nervous. What's got Steed so nervous?
Right, but I'm sure you've got a leg up when it comes to the more, amorous activities.
A grin spreads molasses slow across his face. Steed's still thinking about that, then.
I could tell you about them. Same as I did the other stuff.
Steed is rather red when he looks up, with pupils a little wide, and whispers, "You could show me." Steed kisses him first because Ed wouldn't dare cross that line. It's the first time Ed tells him how he's stuck living the same day over and over. No way out. Steed seems to believe him, and Ed fears his knees might give out in relief. They're moving around Steed's auxiliary wardrobe, and Steed stops at a dressing gown crumpled on the floor. Steed looks up at him and frowns. Have you had lots of conversations, then? In this curse of yours? Ed nods. Fair few. Steed swallows. Have I ever told you I love you? Ed feels all the air punch from his lungs. You don't have to say things you don't mean to break some curse. Steed stumbles across the small room, catches his wrist like he might flee. Maybe he would if he wasn't so frozen. I do mean it. It's the reason I left Mary. Not just because she was happy without me and I her, but because I'm happy with you. Because I'm in love with you. Steed's hand cups his cheek, and he stops breathing altogether. And I'm sorry for leaving you without a word, but I'm not sorry about my feelings for you. I wouldn't change them for anything.
I don't know if I have any love in me,
Ed whispers. It's only a half-truth. He fears he might not know how to love properly, but he knows he's over the moon for Steed fucking Bonnet. Steed smiles.
It's all right. You can have some of mine if you'd like.
Ed has to squeeze his eyes shut tight so he doesn't cry. Steed clears his throat.
You know, I read a story once about a curse.
Ed blinks his eyes open. Steed's wearing his mischievous smile.
Yeah?
He hums. It was broken by True Love's kiss. Ed swallows.
I haven't tried that one yet.
May I? Steed asks. Ed can only nod. Steed presses his lips to his. It's tentative, soft as the brush of butterfly wings, gentle as the last one they shared. It feels like his heart might shatter. Steed pulls back and blinks at him. He licks his lips.
Do you think it worked?
I'll know until tomorrow morning, he whispers. Steed nods and goes to take a step back. Ed catches him around the waist, swallows thick, and ignores the heat in his cheeks.
Maybe we should, try again, though?
To be sure.
If you want.
Steed beams. After the first kiss, he's desperate for them. The knowledge that the man glowing and golden and lit up by the sun crossing his deck wants to kiss him, too, makes his hands shake. He tries to recreate the events of that first day, but it never quite pans out that way again. He only makes it 5 days before he greets Steed with, "Can I kiss you?" He wants to just do it, but Steed's not caught up with him. Feels like he needs to try and be a gentleman. Steed's jaw drops, and he looks around at the crew watching them.
Here?
Ed nods emphatically.
Yes.
Steed doesn't know the crew won't remember this tomorrow. But even if they did, Ed wouldn't give a shit. He'd kiss Steed in front of his crew and the British Navy and God herself. Steed blushes redder than Ed's ever seen, and says, "All right." He wants to be gentle, but he's too pent up. Instead, he grabs Steed by the front of his thin white shirt, and catches Steed's mouth with his own. Steed's lips are chapped, and his beard scratches against his own, and Ed swears he could fly. Steed makes a surprised sort of sound before he relaxes and kisses him back. Ed ignores Izzy's loud swearing, and just grabs Steed tighter. Groans when Steed is the one to deepen the kiss. He's showing Steed where he keeps a secret stash of marmalade amongst the gunpowder when Steed throws himself at him. Ed's mid-sentence, half turned toward the barrel when he gets an armful of Steed, and Steed's mouth not quite pressed against his own. Steed pulls back and blinks at him. I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that. It's not the first time he's surprised him. It's always moments like this, though. The two of them alone, Ed trying to find the small pieces of Steed's past that he didn't send to the sea.
It's all right.
He keeps his arms around Steed.
I liked it.
Can I do it again? And he does, soft and sweet. Until it's not. He doesn't know whose fault it is, but he's got Steed pressed against the wall, kissing wet and desperate and frantic. He's got Steed's tongue against his own, and Steed's hands hot under his robe. He moves to straddle Steed's leg and presses his thigh into Steed. Steed gives a moan that the rest of the ship can probably hear, but Ed doesn't really care. Especially not when he presses his whole weight into him, and Steed shudders from head to toe. It makes his stomach flip, feels like he's flying, falling. And then he really is falling. One of Steed's hidden passage doors swings open, one he didn't know about, and the two of them tumble on top of each other into a little hallway. They stare at each other, a tangle of limbs, before they both burst out laughing. He can't remember the last time he laughed. It takes a minute to realize they aren't alone. Lucius? Oh, thank God the secret's out. Thought I was gonna fully become a ghost if I don't get any sun. There's countless kisses in every corner of his ship and Steed's stolen ship. Soft and slow exchanges, golden as the sun filtering through the dusty windows. Filthy makeouts in darkened passages out of sight of the crew. A few memorable heavy petting sessions against the door to Ed's chambers that nearly make him come in his pants. He's experienced desire before, but not like this. Not like he won't ever be satisfied no matter how much he gets. Lucky for him, he's got all the time in the world. Ed lets Steed take the lead. Goes when he puts his hands on his shoulders and presses him against the wall. Waits while Steed fiddles with the black necktie Ed's wearing. Steed knows it's the one he let Ed borrow all those months ago. One night when they were watching the moon from the deck, Steed looked over and blushed, told him he liked how Ed looked in his things. It took everything in his power not to drop to his knees right there. Steed laughs and pulls him back to the present. I had a whole plan, you know.
A plan?
Steed nods. Yes, to properly court you. Ed feels his eyebrows jump. This is the first he's hearing of anything like this.
Court me?
Mm-hmm. With candles and flowers, you know. Steve blushes. Romantic. Ed is blushing too, but he hopes it's dark enough that it doesn't give him away. Where were you going to get flowers? Steve finally looks up at him.
I was going to try to put a little garden on the ship.
Ed feels himself smile.
I would like flowers.
Would like anything Steed wanted to give him. Steed swallows. Can I kiss you? Ed nods. Steed always kisses him so sweet, like he doesn't know if he's allowed to take. Oppressive lips, feather light and fleeting. He doesn't go far.
Is that it?
Ed whispers against his mouth. Steed lets out a little laugh and catches his bottom lip, presses against him more sure. Flicks his tongue against Ed's mouth, and he opens easy. At the first brush of his tongue against Steed's, he groans and melts against the wall. Steed clutches at his shirt, mouth open and wet, but still so sweet. The kisses are long and lingering as Steed figures out exactly what he likes. It makes his heart jump to his throat. They don't always end up here, but any time they do, Steed is always like this. Studies him like he's something worth solving. It makes him feel fragile. Steed grows bolder, steps closer until their hips are flush. Steed makes the prettiest whine in the back of his throat before rocking into him, already hard. Heat swirls low and hot in his gut. It's wetter, messier as Steed kisses him like he's trying to consume him, clutches him tight enough to bruise. When they break apart for air, Steed huffs, I thought you were going to show me. Ed laughs as he takes in the pink shade painted across Steed's face, moves to kiss along Steed's jaw, stops to whisper in his ear, "What did you want to do?" Delights in the way it makes Steed shiver. "Whatever you like best." Ed just smiles.
"I like all of it, mate."
Steed hits him with an annoyed frown that doesn't look very annoyed at all. More adorable than anything.
"Right. But I'm sure there's something you enjoy most."
"What he enjoys most?" "Honest. Today is the day he's being honest." He levels Steed with a look so he knows he's serious when he says,
"I'd like it if you fuck me. I haven't done that yet. Only if you want."
The next kiss has more teeth. The two of them stand on the prow watching the sunset for the 10th time, 100th time. Ed doesn't know, he's lost count. The days really blur when they play to the same sort of tune. He tries to shake things up so there's some sort of difference to keep him sane. Sometimes he'll go out to meet Steed. If Steed comes to him, he makes sure he stands in a different spot. The early conversation is always the same. Ed hastily explaining he's stuck. Steed always believes him. The days themselves are a little different, because when Steed asks what he wants to do, Ed always gives a different answer. It's not so bad, this type of purgatory. Steed looks over at him as the sun slips into the ocean. "Do you think I remember?" Ed doesn't understand.
"Think you would know if you did."
"I mean, I obviously don't remember in my conscious mind, but it feels like I might remember somewhere. The feelings, maybe." He smiles, so Ed smiles back, even if he's not sure he understands him. He watches as Steed looks down at the railing, fiddles with his rings, nervous. What do you do at night?" Ed shrugs.
"Just go to sleep and wait to do this all over again. Tried staying up before. Bad choice."
"Tried a few times. Each time he seemed to feel worse after." "Oh, more fiddling.
By yourself?"
His pulse ticks a little faster.
"Yes."
Steed looks up at him in that way of his that knocks all the air right out of his lungs.
"Could I join you?" "Of course."
The thing about Steed is he's beautiful all the fucking time. It would be annoying if Ed didn't love it so goddamn much. He was beautiful when he used to wear fancy clothes and impractical heeled boots on a pirate ship, and made astonished faces as he learned the ways of piracy. It was beautiful when Ed lifted a blindfold off his face before a firing squad, and then beamed brighter than Ed had ever seen when his crew defended him and called him a pirate. Was radiant in horrid beige clothes back on shore when Ed blinked his eyes open after kissing him. Steed laid out naked on Ed's bed, cheeks pink, pupils blown wide, might be his favorite, definitely tied for the top spot. His skin against Steed's is a revelation. He trails his hand up the muscles of his thighs, over the softness of his stomach, through the light hair dusting his chest. Steed is so fucking warm he wants to sink right into him. He stops with his hand over Steed's heart. Steed's panting like he's just swam the ocean. Before Ed can say something far too sentimental, Steed interrupts him.
"Edward, if you don't touch me, I think I might die."
A grin pulls at his cheeks. Dramatic bastard. He shoots him a smirk.
"I am touching you."
"Ed." It's a growl, low and just a little dangerous, and it makes his blood sing. He doesn't make Steed beg, though that does sound fun, but he's too worked up for something like that now. Instead, he lets himself fall, presses them together until their hips are flush. It's too much. Ed can barely breathe. Steed's skin is so warm, and he's hot and aching against him. Steed gives an experimental roll of his hips, slides Ed's cock against his own, and pleasure surges through him like the tide, makes him shudder from head to toe. Steed moans loud and low. The sound echoes around him, sets his blood to singing until he's nearly lightheaded with it. His body is moving before he's really thought about it. The room grows steamy, the air thick with their breath, skin slick with sweat. Steed hooks a leg around him and knocks the wind out of his lungs. Their rhythm starts to grow erratic.
"Not gonna last,"
he admits. He wishes he could, though. Wishes he could stay pressed against Steed, breathing in the salty tang of his skin, listening to the delicious sounds he's making. Steed grabs the back of his neck and kisses him, just a catch of his lips, sweet and chaste and so at odds with the way they're grinding into each other, with the heat filling him and turning the world hazy. Ed feels Steed's lips tilt into a smile against his as he says, "We'll just have to do this again." Something inside him aches at the words. He gets a hand between them, and then he's really shuddering. Steed feels so deliriously perfect, hot and slick and better than Ed could have dreamed. He buries his face in the crook of Steed's neck so he has something he can sink his teeth into. Steed's making it impossible to hold out, with the little noises he's making, and the way his hands keep ghosting across his skin like they don't know where to land. They settle in his hair, and Steed pulls him up to claim him with a bruising kiss. There's nothing sweet about this one. It's all tongue with no finesse, and the hottest thing Ed's ever experienced. "Ed," Steed whispers. He answers, "Steed." And then Steed's arching beneath him, face all twisted up in that place where pleasure and pain are just too close to tell the difference. The single most beautiful person Ed's ever seen. The sight of him looking like that because Ed made him feel that way sends him right over the edge. They're both sweaty and gross, but Ed isn't moving for anything. Steed keeps peppering him with kisses like he can't help himself, like he doesn't know how to stop. Across his cheeks, on his eyelids, the tip of his nose. Ed's never been kissed like this before. He's tired in a way he hasn't been in ages. He doesn't want to fall asleep, doesn't want the day to end. Steed presses a single kiss to his lips before he leans back just a little, looks at him like he knows what he's thinking. He watches him for a moment before saying, "Tomorrow we should do this earlier in the day, so we can, you know," he's blushing again, "get to more activities." Hope swells dangerous and swift up his throat. He swallows it down. Ed quirks an eyebrow. "You suggesting I proposition you on the deck?" Steed just smiles. "I can almost guarantee I won't say no." Ed's grinning before he can stop himself. Happy. He's very nearly happy. He almost asks Steed to stay, but holds his tongue. Steed's not in control of things like that. And even if he was, there's always a chance he might decline. Ed can't risk that. Better to keep the question hidden behind his teeth. Instead, he tucks himself against Steed, and Steed wraps him up in his arms. With his ear against Steed's heart, he listens as it evens out, as Steed's breaths grow deep, and a rumble starts as he snores. Ed keeps his eyes open until they're burning, and can't help but let sleep take him. For the first time in ages, he wakes up disappointed. Steed's looking down at him in wonder. Eyes raking across all his exposed skin, fingers tracing lines of ink. Steed looks at him like he's something worth staring at. "You're beautiful," Steed whispers. Ed's not sure if he meant to say that out loud or not. He feels his cheeks burn.
"Nah, you are."
And Steed is. The sun is setting, coming in through the window. Day nearly gone. Time is always flying by too fast. His honey hair is gold, curls a little disheveled from the hasty way he shrugged himself out of his clothes, stopping periodically to pull Ed into a filthy kiss, laughing when he pulled back at the sheer delight of it all. Ed couldn't help but laugh, too. This stopped feeling like any sort of punishment a long time ago. He watches Steed swallow. "Tell me what to do." Ed does. Steed fetches oil. And Ed's already breathing too quick with anticipation as he watches the careful way Steed sucks his fingers up. They've done a bit of fooling around, but they've never done this. Steed flashes him another wide-eyed look. "You'll tell me if it's not good."
"That won't be a problem."
Steed frowns. "Ed."
"Steed."
He's still frowning, so Ed gives him a little smile.
"I'll tell you, but it will be good. Trust me. It's you."
He's not lying. It's always good with Steed, no matter what they do. The words wipe any hesitancy from Steed's face. Confident as anything, he follows Ed's instructions. There's something painfully intimate about it. a reflection of their former lessons. Steed listens and then experiments, has Ed thrusting against his fingers in no time, finds that spot that makes stars dance behind his eyes, sends lightning through his veins, doesn't even care that Steed looks a little smug, feels too fucking good. I'm ready. Are you sure? He sits up and pushes Steed back in the same motion, straddles him.
I'm sure. Are you?
Steed blinks up at him in awe, cheeks flushed, pupils huge, puts his hands against Ed's hips and squeezes. Yes. He sinks himself down slow. Steed chokes out a sound that might be his name, gives an involuntary thrust that knocks the wind out of his lungs. Ed makes himself talk. I know, he whispers, and he does. It feels, Christ, just give me a second. He forgot what it felt like to be close like this. It's too much, and he's aching and hard and close, and he doesn't want this to end. Steed's talking. Ed, you're so beautiful. Perfect. Amazing. The words make him flush hot head to toe, cause a whine to sneak out before he can catch it. Steed's pressing his lips to any surface he can reach. This feels so good. Ed, you feel so good. Ed rocks his hips, and Steed makes a noise like he's been gutted. Ed, I need... He grabs the back of Steed's neck and looks into his eyes as he growls,
Move.
Steed does, snaps his hips up, and Ed feels like he might completely unravel. He clenches his teeth against how good the ache is, matches Steed's pace, focuses on the feeling of Steed's fingers digging into his skin, hopes they leave bruises he can poke at later, and take him right back to this moment, until he remembers even if he does get marks, they'll be gone tomorrow. He starts moving faster. His knee isn't going to be thanking him, but he won't feel that tomorrow either. Steed's making these high-pitched noises that go straight through him, make him feel drunk, head foggy, heart racing. And in between, Steed keeps talking. So good. So beautiful. So perfect for me. The words send a lightning bolt down his spine. He's making all sorts of noises he'd be embarrassed about if he was with anyone but Steed. He's so close. Before he can get a hand around himself, Steed is already there, wraps his hand around his cock, and it feels like he might die. This is... Fuck. Ed. Ed's gone. Pleasure whites out his vision, and the sound of Steed moaning his name rings in his ears. He feels light, head fuzzy, muscles aching. Steed seems to have frozen, hands tight around his waist, still hard inside him. Ed leans forward, licks into Steed's mouth as he grinds down, swallows the sound of Steed's moan. Come on, Steed, he says into his mouth.
Fuck me.
A hot curl of satisfaction burns him as Steed's eyes grow impossibly wider. Between one breath and the next, he's on his back, Steed leaning over him, whispering, Are you sure? Ed nods. Steed snaps his hips in earnest. Ed has to clench his teeth against how good it feels to be wrung out with little shocks of pleasure still racing through him, as Steed chases his own end. Steed's still fucking talking. Just Ed's name now, over and over. And if Ed were a younger man, the sound of Steed coming on his name would be enough to send him off again. It's late, and he's tired, but he doesn't want to sleep. He wishes it didn't have to end. It always has to end. He's got himself all wrapped around Steed, probably too tight, but he doesn't want to let him go. Ed, Steed whispers. He hums. You keep saying this isn't so bad. Why? Honest. Today is his honest day.
I mean, I get to see you.
Steed rolls over and gives him a look he can't quite parse. And you're okay just being stuck here forever? He wants to say no, because it makes him sound crazy to say anything else. But he's not gonna lie to Steed. Not today, and hopefully not ever. And the truth of it is, if this is the only reality where he gets every day with Steed, he'll fucking take it.
Doesn't feel like I have much choice.
But if you did?
But I don't.
Steed furrows his brow. You aren't afraid of being stuck here. Steed reads him like a book. Says the thoughts he doesn't really let himself think. But you are afraid of something. It's a question, and he can't answer. Because he is afraid. Has been afraid since he woke up to news that Steed was on the horizon. Steed left him once. Could easily leave him again. Just might if he wasn't stuck somewhere he didn't have a choice. What if outside this place Steed doesn't want him? What if something happens to Steed and he loses him for real? There's a sick sort of comfort being trapped in this curse. It occurs to him that there's one thing he's never once asked Steed in all the days they've shared. That fear keeping it locked in his throat. Hope is a dangerous thing. So he whispers when he asks, "Will you stay?" If Steed's confused by the change in conversation, he doesn't show it. He just gives that a brilliant smile, blinding and beautiful. "I would love to." And then Steed holds him tight. Ed tucks his head under Steed's chin, and as he listens to him fall asleep, Ed even lets himself believe it. If Steed had a choice, he'd want to stay. Maybe that knowledge alone is enough to keep him company. His head aches, and the gap in the curtain is cutting sunlight across his eyes, same as always. Ed wants to scream. Out of ideas, out of options, out of hope. A damned man. Except. He's warm in a way he's never been before. A little sore. And his knee is fucking killing him. There's a body pressed against his back. A furnace, really. Too hot, and they're both sweating, but Ed doesn't even care. He rolls over and finds Steed sound asleep, mouth wide open, snoring, drooling, still beautiful. His blood surges so fast he nearly faints. He reaches out and grasps Steed's shoulder, solid and sturdy as anything beneath his hand. "Steed?" He shakes him, gentle. Steed blinks his eyes open slow. Takes in Ed and smiles that goddamn blinding smile of his. Ed feels his eyes sting.
"Are you really here?"
Steed's own eyes fill with tears as he leans forward and presses a kiss to Ed's cheek. Soft as silk. The faintest pressure, but real. "Yes. Seems you solved it." Ed pulls Steed close and buries his nose in his hair. Hugs him too tight, but he can't let him go. Isn't ever going to let him go. He has time again. He knows he's going to have a busy day ahead of him, to hand out apologies he's had ages to practice, and answer Steed's questions about the things he got up to while they were apart, and chart a course toward shore to stock up on those supplies they were still missing. But all of that could wait for later. For now, he holds Steed tight and whispers, "You stayed." Steed huffs a wet laugh. "Of course. You asked me." The end.
Good times for a change. See the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad. So please, please, please let me get what I want. This time, I haven't had a dream in a long time. See, the life I've had can make a good man bad. So for once in my life, let me get what I want. Lord knows it would be the first time. Lord knows it would be the first time.